From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Chris Lee from VandySports.com is going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk Ole Miss and Vanderbilt Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. We realized yesterday that we didn't really discuss Ole Miss and A&M at all during yesterday's podcast, so we'll talk Vanderbilt for a minute.
We did do today an instant analysis.
That's true. We'd already covered a lot of it that was on the
10 whole minutes about the game.
Yeah, you know.
It reminded me of all the other games.
10 minutes on the game, 10 minutes on Hoosiers. That was our day, you know, over the course of the
game. It reminded me of the other 9 games.
Did it?
In many ways.
Okay.
The offense was pretty good until it got to the red zone. Defense gave up 500 yards. Pretty consistent. They played hard. I mean, literally, it's one of the more consistent teams in the country.
They do what they do.
They play hard. They're really good between the 20s. And the defense.
They struggle in the second half because of depth.
They struggle in the second half because of depth, and the defense tries really hard, but they just struggle to make tackles.
Yeah.
And they give up big plays.
So.
And games get away late.
So, Chris, on the show today, giving you kind of breakdown of what is going on. Well, first, I'll tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go by, let them serve you a lunch special, $4.99 for those, ribs, SpeedPass Plus app, or you save money and earn points. The mobile rewards program as well. A lot of ways to save money there with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon, and they'll smoke your turkey for Thanksgiving. We're getting close to that. Give them a call. Stop by. Tell them you want them to handle the turkey for this Thanksgiving, this holiday season, and they will take care of that for you there at the Oxford Exxon, the Maple Bourbon Shakes next door at the Oxford Crystal. Probably a little chilly for that today, but nonetheless, it is there if you so desire. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Remind me to tell you about we're gonna have turkey issues this year. Beyond the fact that there's a football game to cover that night, which really sort of stops you from doing Thanksgiving, which is fine. Thanksgiving's perhaps the world's most overrated holiday.
See, you know, Jeffrey loves it, so he gets mad when we say this, but
it's terrible.
It's because you don't like people. It is the ultimate people holiday.
I like people fine.
You're stuck with people all day long and the next day.
It's a food holiday, and most of the food's not particularly – if Thanksgiving dinner is so good, then how come we don't have it any other day of the damn year? 364 other days, we're like, nah, I'm good without turkey and dressing and cranberry and whatever.
Cranberry is the ultimate most overrated
item. I make a good point.
Cranberry is the
– Do you like steak and potato?
Tell them about Clark Ford so we don't lose this.
All right. We're going to come back. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. I'm talking to him about something right now, and Corey's great to deal with. He finds out what you're looking for. He goes and gets you some numbers, and you get to make decisions from there. It's real simple. It's it really couldn't be any simpler. 662-257-1900. And after you get your quote, you know, it's up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and others, many others. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product. You get great service after the sale. Delivery options, all of the stuff that you'd want. You get it from Clark Ford. Again, 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line.
Go ahead.
Do you like steak and potatoes, generally?
One of my more favorite items,
okay.
Yes.
So, okay. Do you have that just once a year? Do you pick like one night of the year and go, this is my steak and potato night. Yay.
No, we actually even add to it. We do the loin or whatever at Christmas now. That's the deal.
So you're telling me that you have it more than once a year?
I would say every couple of weeks probably.
Do you like give me another traditional meal that people enjoy. Do you like
tacos?
Tacos? Do you limit tacos to Cinco de Mayo?
Not necessarily, no.
Do you like Italian? I know you're a big Italian fan.
I like Italian, yeah.
Do you like limit Italian to a certain day?
The Italian independence, whatever,
whatever
it
that
is.
Might be.
Columbus Day.
Okay, do you limit Italian to Columbus Day or any other day that you might choose, but limit it to one day?
Not particularly.
You like Chinese?
I'm more of a
like
Japanese
sushi.
Fan. Yeah, I'm more of a Japanese fan.
All right.
Than Chinese.
You like Japanese food? Do you limit it to once?
No.
Do you limit sushi to one day? Like, hey, just the day that we sort of apologize for the whole Hiroshima thing. God.
Are they apologizing for the other thing?
I'm just asking a question.
No, I eat a lot of sushi.
So you eat turkey and dressing once, and everybody goes, "Oh,
no!"
I'll
eat dressing more than once, actually. So
really,
yeah, okay. Not often, but I will get a bit of a hankering for dressing occasionally.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it. Don't get me wrong. My point is,
I'm not eating. I mean, your point is well served. I'm not eating it nearly like I'm eating any of the other items.
Everybody raves about the Thanksgiving meal, and if it were so freaking good, then why do we only have it once?
It's sentimentality. It's all the other stuff. It's not the meal. They don't actually go, oh my God, why? I mean, we were having butterbean casserole.
What is that?
Like any other casserole, you throw crap in there. I mean, whatever. Green bean casserole. You know what I mean?
I've just never heard of butterbean casserole.
Yeah, that's a thing, I'm sure.
I don't know. Anyway, our issue this year is now, in addition to not having a big green egg, the bottom oven, the big oven, is out. Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of butterbean casseroles on the internet.
Really, it's been a bad year for us financially. Everything that could break has.
Your kid hadn't even gone to college yet.
I know. Well, yeah.
Yeah, this recipe calls for butter beans, carrots, onions, celery, flour, butter, hot milk, salt, cheese, breadcrumbs, and more butter.
So it's basically just a bunch of butter, and you throw some beans in there so everybody go, that was healthy. I mean, I can't eat the majority of that stuff. So it's like, for me, it's like, so what are we doing?
You're not a huge fan of like the next day turkey sandwich and the leftovers and all on Friday?
Not really.
Really? I'm just asking.
Not really. It's not my thing.
I'm thinking of cliches for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's not really my thing. And this year, I mean, I tell you what I'm a fan of on Thanksgiving, if I'm honest, is I'm kind of buzzed by about one, take a good nap, and then resume. And this year, I'm going to go see Creed. And then we got to go cover a football game where everyone expects us to ask horribly mean questions after the game's over.
That press conference is going to be going on with about 3 minutes left in the Saints-Falcons game, I have a feeling, while we're doing that too. So it's – I'm really troubled by the Saints-Falcons thing on Thanksgiving night. I did not realize that till this week.
I think the Bears play the early game on Thanksgiving.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Well, some of us are into the Bears, okay?
Oh, give me a freaking break. It's like when I get made fun of for every time in the playoffs, I'm really obnoxious about it because I played with them on like NHL 94 on the PlayStation or Super Nintendo or something, where all my hockey friends, I go, I'm a huge Blackhawks fan. Jeremy Roenick still there?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, beats me.
It drives them crazy. Like, shut up. Like, I'm just saying, Blackhawks all the way, baby.
I've been kind of sort of with the Bears now for 9 weeks.
It's amazing.
Who says I can't
not even
commit?
Do a trimester yet, and here we are.
Yeah.
Couple different things to tell you about. Our final show of the semester at Funky's on Thursday night, a 5:30 start for that. We'll have drink specials. Come on out. Our guest this week, Matt Wyatt, radio host, I guess in the Jackson area now, formerly of Head to Head, that's since separated.
He's got a show in Jackson from, I think, 10 to 12 every day.
We'll talk A&M, we'll talk State, we'll just sort of talk football, we'll do whatever. So come on out, heckle Matt, celebrate Matt, heckle us, celebrate us, whatever you'd like, as long as you show up. Give a certificate, as always, courtesy of Blue Delta for the trivia question. And then on a Friday night in Nashville at Neighbors, the Germantown location of Neighbors, we'll have a watch party for Ole Miss and Butler, a 7 p.m. tip for that. Also have drink
Mayor
specials.
Mayor Parham holding court in Nashville, taking the campaign on the road.
We'll have some other probably gift bag, grab bag, door prize. I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but we'll have some other stuff for you if you do arrive. So come on out, watch Ole Miss and Butler at Neighbors on Friday night if you're in town.
You're expecting a big crowd, right?
I've been told that that's possible. Yeah. I've been in contact with some of the Music City Rebel Club people, and they've told me that that's a possibility.
Are you going to have a microphone, take questions?
No, I'm not.
We're
just hanging out.
Are you going to kiss babies?
No, we're just hanging out. We're not doing a show. I'm not giving a speech. I'll reach into a goldfish bowl and pull out some names for some free garb or something, probably. But that's about the limit to my
day. Are you going to be campaigning for yourself and for a certain candidate for this?
What candidate?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Did another podcast last night. I joined the guys at Red Cup, and we're like 10 minutes into it, and they go, so I mean, your candidate, Bobby Robbins. I'm like, well, hold on. I was like, okay.
You said you endorsed him. I'm not making it up. I read it with my own two eyes when I was still somewhat sober.
I'm owning it. It's fine. It's all good.
He's your candidate.
My candidate.
So when the other guy gets introduced,
you might want to handle that one. Yeah,
Mr. Chancellor, how come you think Robbins didn't get it? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, the day the other guys hire Parham Cohen, Chancellor search goes wrong.
Parham Cohen, this is bound to fail. Hail State.
Oh, gosh. Oh, all right. Shit. Anyway, those are the things. If you're there, come hang out. We'll have a nice time there. Speaking of, I was going here anyway. And this is not really about Robbins. It's just interesting that another media outlet starting to pick up on the Ole Miss Chancellor search at all. The senior sports columnist for the Tucson newspaper. I don't know what their little tag thing is. Do you? It's Tucson.com online, so I don't even know what
the paper's
called.
It used to be the Tucson I don't know. It was the Arizona
Republic,
and there was also the Arizona Daily News. I don't want to say it was like the Tucson Star, but I could be wrong.
Okay, well, they had a very short column, essentially, this morning discussing Bobby Robbins about how he has been a really big advocate for their athletic department since he's been there. Somebody asked this question on the board, and there's a difference. We've never said the chancellor should not support athletics, just should not control athletics. Two completely different things there as that pertains to a chancellor in an AD situation. Robbins appears to have supported the athletic department during his time in Arizona. They paid Rich Rodriguez a $6 million buyout. They've done a lot of different things. And the things a lot of Ole Miss people are talking about in that story this morning is apparently he has been much more forceful in kind of counteracting Arizona State's push from a public relations standpoint inside that state. So you can read it there. But again, point being, and it's an interesting thing. I mean, this is, in all honesty, as we kind of finished the first segment, it's the most interesting part of this to me is his name was obviously going to get picked up in this. Mississippi guy, ties, has applied for it multiple times in the past. It's kind of like Jeff Brohm, though, at Purdue all of a sudden. It's more so for their chancellor position. It's a weird deal because even if you want the job, and I do think he would take the job, you don't want to lose your capital at your current school because there's no guarantee here, and you got to kind of be careful about your name getting run away with this thing as it goes, in my opinion.
Well, no, the Tucson, whatever paper it is, has put him on the clock today.
Yeah.
They've put him on the clock.
I mean, they're forcing some sort of something.
He can't go through a 9-month process. He can't do it. If you're advising him, this guy makes $1 million+,
mm-hmm.
has a really good gig.
AAU school.
I mean, no one's advising him, oh, yeah, go through the 9-month process and absolutely piss off everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, they're stupid. There's no indication that the guy's stupid. I don't know. I do not have opinions about who should or shouldn't get the job and will not have an opinion about who should or should not get the job. That is not my place. I'll be fascinated to see how he handles the time. That's not an opinion.
His name's not going away, and neither is the fact that the IHO is likely not going to put some sort of expedited process together here. So now they did cancel a round of whatever last time, but that was way down the line. That wasn't like, hey, let's just pick some dude. So,
yeah. They're in a weird spot.
The IHO?
Well, they're in a weird spot because I don't think Look, I think this IHL system's stupid. I mean, it's dumb. I'm sorry. I'm not from here. I can say it. It's stupid. Whoever set that up, that was dumb. Ole Miss should have its own board. Mississippi State should have its own board. Those schools should be able to make decisions for themselves without having to worry about what the hell happens to Alcorn. I mean, that's just silly. It's silly. Frankly, Ole Miss people should – and the fight's the wrong word because fight implies something else. They should articulate a very strong opinion about let us have the person that we want at this point.
And there is some semblance of that to this process.
And it's the other people on the committee should acquiesce to that.
Yeah, it's not – I do think there's a bit of a wrong connotation that the other people are going to fight the choices and all this stuff. There's enough wiggle room where the wrong choices can be made.
They're the reasons that Vitter got through the last 6 months.
Well, yeah, but that's different than the process to hire him just because the format is different.
That's true.
Once he's there now, it's a board and a fair game. I mean, that's right. A whole different deal. But there's enough wiggle room for the IHL to screw it up. However, I mean, the Ole Miss people are going to have the primary seats at the table to push this process along however it sees fit. So it's a middle ground there. And, yeah, I mean, look, we get asked this all the time. I don't even have a clue what the process would be to remove yourself from the IHL. I don't know if Ole Miss can afford it because of all the way government stuff's tied in. And I know that as of right now, they don't have the political capital inside the state legislature to get that done. So it's kind of a moot point currently.
It is.
It's a good talking point, but it's a moot point.
I just think the way the system is set up is ridiculous.
It was something that had a little bit of logical sense when it was built, but times have changed dramatically, yeah. And it has no flexibility to change with them at all.
Why should anyone at Ole Miss or Mississippi State give one damn what happens to Jackson State or Southern Miss or Mississippi Valley or Alcorn or MUW or any? I mean, who cares? If you're Ole Miss or State, what difference? What do you care?
Yeah. We'll handle our business and you handle yours and we'll go about our day. At the end of the day, we're all in competition against each other.
There's no doubt.
In every way.
Yeah, so.
Money, kids, athletics.
Can you imagine Coke and Pepsi and whoever sitting down at the table? All right, let's figure out how we're going to do this soda market.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Frito-Lay and Golden Flake.
So here's what I think we ought to do.
Yeah.
We ought to take our profits and put them all in, and let's prop up RC and whoever else while we're at
it. Yeah, Coke, I know y'all have a lot of money in the stock market. Pull some of that out to make up for it, and then we'll – yeah, okay. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's going
to
go well.
Yeah.
Hey, we had an ad campaign really work out, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to split it up because you guys are over there struggling. Come on, this is stupid. If Jackson State and all those schools can't make it on their own, then shut them down.
Well,
the real world.
There are too many public institutions.
Of course there's too many.
Well. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to mold America's youth yesterday. Spoke to a couple journalism classes on campus. Neil was
You want proof that Ole Miss
funny
has problems?
And entertaining.
You want proof that the University of Mississippi has issues? I give you proof. They let me come in and talk to kids.
Multiple times yesterday.
Twice. You guys got to get this thing fixed. Y'all have let the place go to hell. That's on you. I walked in and nobody stopped me. Well, one guy did kind of stop me.
The first guy, you think he stopped you? Well, he wanted to make sure we were going where we were supposed to go. I don't know what that was necessarily about, but
I think I looked suspicious.
We walked into the door at Farley, and yeah, there was like a guy standing there. I mean, nice enough. He walked us to the room, but there was kind of a, you're doing what? Well, where are you going? Well, I'll get you there.
Yeah.
Let's go this way.
Let me make sure that's what you're doing. You vagabonds are not going to roam the halls here at Farley.
Yeah.
Which is good because I wouldn't have known my way around anymore.
Yeah. They were fairly engaged. I will give the kids credit. It was, they might have been threatened to the inch of their lives before we came in to do it. But either way, I did feel like they were fairly entwined with us.
I think it's possible that the instructor of the class, under no particular uncertain terms, let them know that a certain standard of behavior was expected.
I think cell phones were outlawed, which is half the battle at least these days.
Yeah.
So
They all had computers in front of them, and I didn't see
anybody. They were just built-in computers onto the tables.
But yeah, but yes. I didn't see anybody playing on them.
No, we got a picture later in the day, and there was not a single internet browser open. That might have been the biggest win of the entire day, is no one had a browser open.
Yeah, it's difficult to believe that you and I kept people's attention for 50 minutes twice.
People even wanted to work with this when it was done.
I know.
Crazy.
I'm telling you. Crazy little potato log podcast that could.
Just enough, you know.
Loves it when he said, does anybody know what Rivals.com is?
It's like two.
Two people. Like,
well, no, we've never felt older because we did that multiple times. With Rivals, okay, whatever. And I tried to go back and explain it. But then we were like, hey, who's Steve McNair? And I think 3 out of 30 or
so. The one girl over to my right was like, I do. And you
she had a Titans shirt on.
Yeah, she was probably like,
that didn't count.
My dad's a Titans fan. He cheers for them. That was probably basically what she thought. I remember him.
Yeah. Well, because I made a point to Neil. I mean, that would have been very similar to when I was in college getting asked about, like, Fran Tarkenton or somebody was a name I kind of threw out there. Sort of the same time period. I mean,
yeah,
you know. Eh.
It's like I asked Carson about Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Ask Terrence Davis about Hoosiers. Terrence Davis plays basketball.
He does. That's
at a high level. And he didn't know what Hoosiers was. He was nice enough to sort of pretend because he didn't want to say, God, man, you know you're old, right?
Was that what he's doing, or is it just that mechanism where when you don't know something, you kind of act like you do because you're not sure if you should be embarrassed by it or not?
No, I actually think Terrence quasi likes me. He probably doesn't know my name, but he knows I'm the bald dude that asks questions. And sometimes I'm stupid, and I'm not threatening, and I've said nice things about him. And so he says, I'll be nice to you back.
All right, the two main sports you cover, the main people we interview, let's say 40 players combined that we get a lot or enough. Okay. How many know your name?
Out of those 40?
Yeah.
Two.
More, I would say over or under 10 was my.
Oh, way under.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Don't even just know who you are. Come on. I know your name.
No.
You don't think so?
If you gave me over under 5, I would go under.
Would you really?
Yes. Jordan Tamu has no idea what my name is. No clue. And I talked to him once or twice a
week. Maybe it's just a different environment, and maybe I'm wrong and have a high opinion of myself. I bet 25 baseball players know my name.
Oh, I would think so. But you get a different level of access in baseball.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
I mean, I covered Sebastian Saiz for 4 years, and I would venture to guess we never had anything but very congenial, amicable conversations. I would virtually guarantee you he does not know my name.
Okay.
Like on that team when Marshall Henderson and Murphy Holloway and all those guys played,
mm-hmm.
I think Nick Williams knew my name.
Yeah, yeah. Marshall.
Marshall probably knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
Murphy may have known it. That's it. That's it.
I know this is, might have been not even an overlap, but like Zach Graham knew your name.
Yeah,
like
there was some Zach knew guys. My name. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know. So, anyway. Just
but like on the current football team, who knows our names?
Sean Rawlings.
Sean.
Robert Conyers knew our names. I mean, just kind of thinking off the top of my
head.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking guys on this current team today.
Yeah. Oh, there's some. I mean, I think you're low, but probably not. I'm probably high, so number, not faculties.
No, I'd go under 5.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Maybe under 3.
Let me think about it for a minute. So, dude, I'll tell you that Christmas is around the corner. Master Cuts wants your home looking up to par through the holiday season. A variety of outdoor Christmas decorations. It'll transform your house into a festive staple of the neighborhood. Everything from lighting and garland to inflatable characters. Whatever your vision may be, they'll design a custom display unique to your home. The best part, all the decorations you pay for, you'll own them. Master Cuts will keep and store your decorations until they're ready to go up the next year or give them to you to keep. The option is yours. So call them today, 662-607-7773.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Dead Soxy. Socks are cool right now, so stop spending money on koozies and pins and other stale company swag. Put your company logo on something that people will actually want, like custom dress socks, high-quality dress socks that you'll actually want to wear. Dead Soxy makes it really easy to create a custom sock. I've done it. So here's what you do. All you have to do is go to the deadsoxy.com website, deadsoxy.com. Click on Go Custom. Answer about 8 questions. It's actually 8 questions, not about. 8 questions to get the process started. It's really easy. I did it. It took me, I don't know, a minute maybe. And I was watching a basketball game at the same time, so it probably could have been done even quicker than that. 30 pairs is the minimum order. That's a really small number. Other high-quality brands require more than 100 pairs on a custom order. Dead Soxy requires just 30. It takes about 4 weeks from the time the order is placed until you get the socks. So it's easy. It's fast. It takes literally less than 5 minutes, way under 5 minutes, to get the process started. DeadSoxy.com. Don't forget, when you go to the checkout at DeadSoxy.com, enter promo code RebelGrove, and you'll save 25%. Off your order. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
Now let's go to Chris Lee of VandySports.com here on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Chris, welcome into the show. Always good to talk to you. And Ole Miss and Vanderbilt are getting together, or even when not. What's sort of the mood up there? Vanderbilt got to win a couple games for bowl eligibility, just kind of in passing and doing Neil's picks and what's not. Looks like they've played fairly well at times, pretty competitive, but it's been just sort of one of those quintessential Vanderbilt seasons, at least looking at it from 4 hours away.
It has been a weird year to cover, guys. I watched them in fall camp and thought their defense is terrible, which is pretty much accurate. I thought they had a chance to have a pretty good offense. I thought Keyshawn Vaughn had a chance to be a really good back, but you don't know until they play other people. The defense has kind of been what I thought it would be. Their offense, I think, is better than I thought. They've got, from what I'm told, I've got some connections that have connections in the league and the scouts and things like that. They've got 6 or 7 starters on offense that I think may end up getting NFL snaps. Now, I don't know if any of those guys would be first or second round draft picks, but good enough to make rosters. And honestly, they have, I think, squandered a lot of their season. Their clock management has been terrible. I don't know why they didn't play Keyshawn Vaughn more. I think he's got an argument as the best back in the league. You look at the runners in the league at the top of the charts, you look at the yards per carry, he's 7.5, and he isn't running behind Alabama and Georgia's offensive line. And when he's in the game, they know the ball's going there more often than not. So even with that, his production has been that good. It has been a weird year to cover because I think, Neil, you nailed it. They, at times, are kind of competitive. But I just think it's been just some mind-boggling coaching decisions, a stubborn insistence on particular philosophies at times, and probably the inability to realize that they are not going to out-scheme people on defense. They can't go hat for hat and do that in this league with the talent they have. So on one hand, yeah, they're surprisingly competitive, I think, to the outside world. On the other hand, from the inside, there's just been so many things this year that have made me scratch my head.
You mentioned offense. See, I kind of went into the season thinking that they'd have a hard time generating offense because as much as we joked about it over the years, they used Ralph Webb so much over the last 4 seasons that I just thought, man, replacing him is going to be so hard. Yet the quarterback play has been okay. The offense has been fairly productive all season. I've just been so surprised that a Vanderbilt team has been, as from the outside looking in, as undisciplined as they are on the defensive side.
Yeah, Chase, you might want to cover your ears for this. Ralph was a really good back and a great story because I think he made the most of his career. But the guy they got now, 5, Keyshawn Vaughn, is, I don't know that they've ever had a back.
Be careful.
That
be careful.
Any of them.
Be careful.
I know.
Slow down.
Well, now I've admitted that there was lots of tread off those tires. I mean, your boy you're talking about now hasn't had to run behind that offensive line over the course of 4 seasons.
Calm down.
No, but he's got a gear that just a lot of guys don't have. I mean, you take the Florida game, for example. 18 minutes in the game, he had eight touches and 131 yards. And then he got concussed. He came out, and they went from up 21-3 to losing that game. But here's the deal, because I agree with you. I think you look on the outside in, it didn't look like a team that would move the ball. It doesn't usually move the ball, but I think they've got two kids who are special talents in Vaughn and in Jared Pinkney, who's been uneven. But there aren't a lot of 6'4", 255-pound tight ends that can beat you down the field for 50-yard catches. I think both those kids knew that if they had good years this year, they were good enough to come out early. And I think that kind of motivation is a pretty strong carrot for a lot of guys. And I think that's explained a lot of what has happened is those two kids have had bust-out years. And when you've got players like that on the field at the same time, you're a lot harder to defend.
So, big picture, what's the mood around Derek Mason? I mean, what's sort of his situation right now? Because you look over there, Mike McIntyre out of Colorado. A lot of Ole Miss fans are frustrated at Matt Luke, even in a probation era, if you will. So, what's going on with Mason?
It's been tough to figure out because the fan base is ready to move on, and I think for good reasons. When you're year five and you still can't come up with basic clock management skills or play the right kids or admit that your scheme is not working, and you've had five losing seasons, if that's what happens, I don't know what to tell you in terms of why you think this is going to get better. But at the same time, the complicating factor is their AD was not doing his job. There was a mess that hit the papers this fall. It was all true, I think. I think he was going to continue to coast for another year or two on a seven-figure salary. What came out in the paper forced the chancellor's hand. There was a sudden resignation. And the problem with this is the timing. They still don't have an AD. Now, that could change today or tomorrow or next week. But then there's questions of, well, the AD's just getting his boots on the ground here. There's so many other things to tackle there because that's an internal mess at the school. I think they're about to let go a lot of internal employees, potentially. I don't know about a lot, but some in middle management. It's just been a mess that needs to be attacked. They've got fundraising issues that need to be started. They're going to have to get rid of a women's basketball coach, I think, maybe at the end of the year, too. So it's kind of like where do you want to start to put out the fires? And that's the question that I have is when do they get a new AD? You would presume that the new guy gets latitude to make a change, but with all the other things going on, where are the priorities going to be? I'm kind of waiting to see like everybody else because I think if they bring him back next year, there's no way they have a winning season. They're not having a good recruiting year. Next year will probably be two not good recruiting years, and at some point you've got to stop the cycle. But they let the mess with the AD go on so long. They should have made a change this summer, where if you had to do something this year, it was a lot less complicated. But that's kind of the situation, and I'm waiting to see how it plays out.
So who are they hiring as AD?
I think it'll be Boo Corrigan at Army. That's been the word. I thought they had Rick George from Colorado a week ago. Nothing has been finalized. The leaks have been few and far between. But behind the scenes, that seems to be the prevailing thought of who they're going to get.
Took a break in our talk with Chris to tell you to go get a flu shot at G&M Pharmacy. Located on South Lamar in Oxford. Take care of that this flu season. Walk-ins are welcome. If a major insurance provider, it is free, if not $25 there at G&M. If you want to use them for all your pharmaceutical needs, they make it really convenient by delivering local in the Oxford area. So head on over to South Lamar today. And I'll tell you, the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. Understand your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The 2018-19 men's hoops season has arrived. Don't miss out on the new Pavilion Mini Pack for just $65. Tickets include games to Tennessee, Auburn, and select non-conference games. As packages are fully customizable. That's a hard word to say. Based on your schedule. For more info, visit OleMissSports.com and click the tickets link. Don't miss a minute of the action this year at the Pavilion with Coach Yo and the women's hoops team. Get your tickets today for just $50. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. The Ole Miss women's hoops team is back in action tonight. They host Temple on Thanksgiving at the Pavilion. So don't miss your chance to win prizes, including Nike gift cards, Beats headphones, and a brand new television. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. And the Ole Miss men's hoops team returns to the Pavilion a week from tonight, November the 20th, for Ole Miss Family Night as they host Nichols at 6 p.m. $5 lower level tickets will be available for purchase by visiting the ticket box office on game day. Escape the house on Thanksgiving break and bring the family out to the Pavilion.
Now back to Chris Lee here on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
So how much of Mason's future is dependent on the outcome of the next two games? Because it seems like it was 2 years ago, it was a foregone conclusion that he was out, and then they just destroyed both Ole Miss and Tennessee, and all of a sudden he's the triumphant son, if you will, and he gets a new deal and all that stuff. Are we back in that spot?
I don't know. I go back to the AD thing, and it's funny. I very specifically remember a conversation you and I having that we both thought Derek was going to be their defensive coordinator. I had feelers coming at me from the Oregon and Florida markets, and I think he was prepared to get out. In fact, I think that maybe even a couple of weeks ago, he thought he would be out. I think so much hinges on the AD search, and you would presume that a guy that comes in is going to be given latitude to fire a coach. On the other hand, I think your point is also valid too, Neil. If they beat Ole Miss and beat Tennessee, they're 6-6. Let's say they win a bowl game, they're 7-6. Winning seasons are few and far between at that place. And regardless of how poor a job he's done, that looks odd to let a coach go who's got a winning record just because, you know, they went from 83 to 07 without a single winning season. You know how tough that job is. I really don't know. I'm waiting to see like everybody else because there's just so many things in play here.
I know there's no way to answer this. Just your kind of gut feeling. Would Vanderbilt even entertain the thought of Hugh Freeze as head coach?
I don't think so. I think there's too much baggage. They like to stay away from controversy and anything that even hints at impropriety. I think that's too toxic, but man, that sure would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
It would. I don't know how much of Ole Miss you've seen, whether you're even prepared to make a pick. I'll probably ask you this in our five questions that we exchange later this week, but kind of what's your gut feeling on the outcome of Saturday's game? Before give me an attendance guess.
Oh, man. Before the season, I picked all 12 games, and I've been 10 for 10 so far just with what I picked in preseason. I picked them to lose this one because of their conservative style. I thought that they would get into a shootout with Ole Miss. They would be too late in realizing that they had to play that way, and Ole Miss has got too many bullets at receiver and quarterback for them to get enough stops. Now, the Phillips injury, if that changes things I think brings it back to the middle a little bit, although Vegas has got Vandy as a favorite anyway. That's been my gut. But here's the weird thing in the midst of all of it. I think they're still a motivated football team. And that's kind of the question I've got about Ole Miss. You know, these games where Ole Miss has got really nothing to play for. They don't have a bowl game. I mean, I guess kids want to win games, but they've got more to play for at this point. I don't know. I'm honestly torn because as bad as their defense is, it might be better than Ole Miss's. Statistically, at least, it is, although they haven't played Alabama. I think that's a tough one. My gut preseason was that they would lose this game for all those reasons, and I probably ought to stick with that, but I'm pretty torn.
And what about crowd? Because I don't know that Ole Miss normally brings a ton of people to Nashville. And they'll still bring people, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the type of crowd that they brought in the past.
What's the forecast? I'm sure it's going to be cold.
Chilly.
Saturday.
Clear and cold.
Yeah. I think that's a half full stadium, guys. I think, you know, they seat 40, and I think they'll be, if Ole Miss doesn't bring a lot of people, because they have been, man, I'll bet you the last two seasons, they have been outnumbered by other teams' fan bases in conference games all but one or two games. And that might be an exception if Ole Miss doesn't travel.
It's 47 at kick and gets down into the 30s by the time the game's over.
Yeah, I don't – attendance has been dropping ever since Franklin left. They're lucky to get 20,000 of their own fans in the building anymore. I think you're looking at 2025.
Fans care about basketball right now?
Yeah, that's kind of the hot thing. They are really talented. They are really fun to watch. And I think that they are – I'm not going to say they're under the radar, but they've got two freshmen that were McDonald's All-Americans. They're every bit of it. The big kid they've got, Simi Chatu, hurt his knee last December. I don't think any of us knew what to expect. The first night against Winthrop, their first bucket of the game, and keep in mind, this kid, 6'10", is making a steal on the open floor, dribbling the ball down the floor, sidestepping defender and throwing it down. And everybody kind of looked at each other like, you know, what is this? They've got a point guard named Darius Garland, who was the SEC Freshman of the Week. He's fantastic with the ball. I think those kids would be in Nashville 1 year only. They're that good. They'll be first-round picks, barring something going wrong. But it's going to be a fun year.
Most important question so far that we've asked. Yeah. Parham has been incredibly critical over the better part of the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years about Vanderbilt.
Not been critical. That is not the right word.
Oh, my God. Just wait a minute. For as effusive in praise as he was for Ralph Webb, he was equally critical of Vanderbilt's press box food situation.
Oh, that was not where I thought you were going.
Has it been resolved at all? Have we made any improvements to appease Parham here, days out?
I used to really like I don't need to eat it, but I'd really like the gelato or whatever they had there. But the sausage was always like gray and like, everything was a weird color in the Vanderbilt press box.
Well, it's better than the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh, well.
But
okay. Well, yeah. Come on.
I'll just put it this way. You go into some press boxes in the league, and it's like Thanksgiving dinner. And their situation has been more like you know, when your wife knows you've been working a lot, didn't eat, and she got you a sack with a burger or chicken sandwich in it, and you know, it's sitting on the table when you come in at 10 that night. I don't think that they're going to win any awards for the press box food.
It's just such a juxtaposition, because not always, but there's been times I've gone to Vanderbilt baseball where we've got like fajita bars and stuff, and then you get to the football and it's like, this is the same school? I don't really understand what's going on here.
It's bizarre. I think that's got a lot to do with Tim Corbin. The way that their program runs, it's just I've kind of joked they've kind of been out on their own island, and he gets to control stuff, and when he's in control, stuff's going to be done first class. And I don't know if that's it or not, but that they may be the only school in the conference where the food at baseball games is consistently better than what you get at football.
I know it's private, so it's not released. What are they paying him now?
I'm going to guess it's about $1 million, but I don't know what his camp situation is, yeah, how much he gets off that, because he's got a massive summer camp. The kids come to from everywhere, and I think he gets a considerable amount of money from that too.
Okay, just kind of curious. Well, got anything else, Neil? Where are we at?
No, I'm just glad we were able to get some of that resolved and worked through.
I'll tell you on Saturday night how it is, Chris. I'll be there, and we'll discuss the food and make a night of it. So,
well, Chase, you may want to
eat beforehand.
yeah, you may. There are plenty of options with the walking distance of the stadium that if it's a concern, I would just tell you to take your chances there.
We're doing a watch party on Friday night if you want to come watch Ole Miss and Butler up there, Chris. So just
you know, I've got my own basketball game to cover.
Ah, well, fine,
but,
whatever.
But I will. That might be fun to swing by.
Yeah, just saying. So, all right, appreciate it as always, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thanks to Chris for joining us today on the show. Sometimes you just need to get away. Sound familiar? Well, Oxford is your type, whether it's a getaway with friends or a manic trip for two or a guy's retreat or just because traveling to Oxford means you can enjoy a great escape of your own leisure and not leave vacation in need of another one. With the kids leaving town and December getting close, all the Christmas lights up around the square, come visit Oxford. You can see the full calendar of events at visitoxfordms.com/events. Big Bad Art Show, Scrambled Art Bowl, Community Market, and much, much more, including the Thacker Mountain Radio broadcast in front of All Square Books every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So, again, you can find out all the things going on at visitoxfordms.com.
Speaking of getting away, if you're looking to get away, whether it's on an anniversary trip, golf trip, whether you're looking to set up your spring break with cruises or resorts in Florida, the Caribbean, whether this is the year that you're going to go over to Scotland or to Ireland for the summer for a golf trip, get in touch with John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's a part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. Here's how it works. You give him some parameters, how long you want to go, where you want to go, what's your budget, and he will come back and he'll give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. It's 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. Join the Westin Jackson for their inaugural event, the Festival of Trees. It's a community-wide event. The Westin Jackson has partnered with Eventful, Visit Jackson, Friends of Children's Hospital, and many others to create a one-of-a-kind, all-month-long holiday event. Excuse me, comprised of elaborately decorated Christmas trees lining the Westin Jackson Halls, a holiday charity gala, sugar plum fairy teas, and brunch with Santa. This annual event is sure to delight kids of all ages and warm the Christmas spirit in all who attend. So purchase your tickets today at jacksonfestivaloftrees.com. Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi, but it represents clients in 24 states and has advisors in three states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. And the podcast brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated, right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. Please visit her site, meganmphillips.com. That's MEAGANMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929.
Staying with black and gold football teams, Mike McIntyre out at the end of the year for Colorado. He was dealt with some off-the-field stuff and had a fairly successful tenure considering the whole Colorado was in there at one point. But, I mean, it's across the country now. It's not just Auburn. It's everybody. The money involved, the fan base emotions, the changing of the overall landscape because attendance is down and different things, I mean, It is a circus right now in college football athletics because it's almost impossible to sustain a program at a level of expectations that after 1 year, 2 years, whatever, they want your job, they want you out immediately, and it becomes monopoly money because you've got to give these guys these huge buyouts because of the environment, but then when you give them these huge buyouts and you have to make a change because of attendance, it's a never-ending cycle with no clear answer right now.
Yeah, patience is not a big operating word right now in college football. Rebuilding is a bad word. Fans don't want to hear it. Hey, we're rebuilding. This is going to take some time. Theo Epstein said that in Chicago, and it worked for 2 or 3 years. I don't know that you can say that at the college level. It's hard to get people to come to games.
Frankly, the university model, the athletic model at the college level needs to figure out a way for that not to be I hate to say important, but a vital source of your revenue, whatever that means. It means you have to cut back, whatever that means. It's a lot like baseball in a lot of ways. You got to make sure that's a nice sum, but it can't dictate your athletic budget for attendance right now.
Yeah.
It's what happened at the SEC level. The SEC Network comes in and throws all this money out, and you go, oh, look at our gold mines. Well, why don't you throw some of that back a little bit, guys? Why don't you budget that a little differently?
Budget?
Yeah, budget.
What does that mean?
Don't understand? Yeah. If you have it, you spend it, right?
I live in a house with a lot of girls. Look. Patience used to be a guy would get 4 or 5 years. I don't know that that's realistic. I mean, let's make this about Ole Miss for a minute. I think most people view Matt Luke as a second-year coach. I don't really, but my opinion does not matter. I think I'm not a ticket buyer. I think the majority of ticket buyers view him as a second-year coach. Is that fair?
Yeah. Finish your thought, and I'll go back to what I was thinking.
Okay. There are a lot of people that if this season ends the way that I think we think it's going to end, if this season ends the way that the chalk says it's going to end, there are a lot of people that I think in their minds are going to put Matt Luke on the hot seat going into next season. Matt Luke will be in year three of what is undoubtedly a rebuild. He inherited a disaster. Now, is that fair on the surface? No, it is not fair. I don't know that college athletics, as it pertains to coaches, is fair anymore. And so, you know, he's got this $3 million a year job. It's a huge budget line on the Ole Miss athletics budget. And you've got this schedule next year that is difficult. September is loaded with landmines, and it's one of those
strangest
deals.
September of opportunity and landmine all rolled into one.
And if it goes badly and people say, screw it. I mean, I'm just being real here. This will be construed as McCready said Luke's getting fired in a year, and that's not what I said, but it doesn't matter anymore. If it goes badly and people stop coming to games, they'll have a decision to make. What can you afford? Can you afford to buy him out? Can you afford to keep him? Those are two different questions. One's real money and one's hypothetical money. That is also going to be real money.
Yeah, no, that's what I've said this a couple times in different places. There's going if things don't turn around, you know, if they go 0-2 the rest of the way, if the start of next year doesn't go well, there's a spin there that's an easy shift from a PR standpoint to go, hey, at year three years, it's three. Not two, it's three. End of next year's three.
Yeah.
And a lot of different reasons for that. And then, you know, I looked at this McIntyre thing, and honestly, the more I look at it, I kind of get it. I think I had not looked at his record before I spoke a second ago. Because in 2016, he did go 10-4. He went 8-1. He won the Pac-12 South. Still weird saying they're out there. And went to the Alamo Bowl, so 10-3 in the regular season, 8-1 in the conference. They play 9 conference games. Finished 15th in the country. But even with that 8-1 season, 14-38 in the Pac-12 throughout his career. there. And now, look, he inherited a train wreck. But 30-43, 14-38, they are 2-5 in the Pac-12 this season. They're 5-5 overall, but 2-5 in the Pac-12. They're not drawing. It's been a rough tenure.
Especially
when you throw in the off-the-field thing. I get it, honestly. This makes sense.
And they're not drawing. They played Washington State the other day, and the empty sections were prevalent.
Against Washington State. A team playing really well right now.
And, you know, people say, well, Washington State, they're winning. It's a long trip from Pullman to Boulder.
It's
2,000 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a trip you make.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't understand the geography to them being out there and what that means. So, it's interesting. I don't know. But, yeah, Mike McIntyre out at the end of the year. He was at least a name talked about on message boards throughout a couple coaching searches in the past with Ole Miss. And we'll see where he lands. I don't know. It's a good question. Don't have any real answers that as far as that goes. Yesterday, Matt Luke said that Jordan Tombu moving around pretty good from a health standpoint, should be fine. Day-to-day on Scotty Phillips, some swelling still in that ankle. They should get Braylon Sanders back, and then nothing else overly serious from Ole Miss and Texas A&M. I mean, we went into the week talking about Tamu, and if he can't move around efficiently, he is a different quarterback. If he can't run the ball efficiently, if he can't do those things, it changes how dynamic he is. But then Scotty Phillips is really the thing here. I mean, I think it's vital enough because of the way he can control things a little bit. And like I said, Wohler did a pretty good job. He had 60-something yards on 16 carries. He was fine against a very, very difficult run defense to run on.
He played well.
Yeah, he played well. He was good. But Scotty's a much better back, and I do think that in some ways Scotty may be the most important player on this offense simply from a tempo and trying to move the ball a certain way is almost plays a winnable game at Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yeah, it's winnable.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's winnable. It's losable. Winnable.
Neutral field, it'd be about a coin flip. You know, 3 or 4 points for the home team. Old Vandy favored by 2.5. Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
All good.
Vegas thinks it's a coin flip.
It is a coin flip.
It probably is a coin flip.
It's one team that has, on one side of the ball, a lot more athletes, and on the other side of the ball doesn't have any depth. And it's another team that plays pretty fundamentally sound, and they're in most games if they don't just get completely out-athleted everywhere. And that's what Vanderbilt is, and that's what this game is. So we'll see. But as of right now, very little line movement, just nothing. I mean, I think they set a line here, and probably, not a lot of people are betting on this game. I can't believe there's tons of money either direction. And then otherwise, there's not anything to move it. So
it's a horrible week in the league.
Missouri-Tennessee is the best game by far.
It's actually a decent game.
I don't think Arkansas can give State a game just because I don't think they can score enough on that defense. They've played fairly hard for him lately, but I just don't know that it matters. I don't think it matters at all. That line has not really moved, by the way. Missouri's still 5.5 on that one. I don't know if he put picks in the system or not.
I haven't yet.
That's where
I had to speak to America's Youth yesterday, and I came home and was told that I was getting into the attic and getting all the Christmas stuff
out. I noticed you had a few things out this morning.
I just had to get it down.
You didn't have to touch it past that.
Well, I got it down, and I put the tree up.
Okay.
And then I was done.
Vanderbilt now a 3-point favorite. It's moved half a point. So, Vandy at 3 currently.
Still minimal movement.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea.
Ole Miss is 0-6 in league games against the spread, and they have an injured running back. That's my reasoning that I'm likely picking Vanderbilt on Thursday, Friday, whatever.
I had somebody ask me this. It's a good question. If you get to Nashville and Scotty Phillips is 70%, I know these numbers are so weird, what percentage you are. Do you hold him and save him so he's 100 for Mississippi State so that you have a chance?
Scotty is a very, very effective one-cut back. If he cannot cut, you do not play him.
You wait.
Yes.
I agree.
Wohler at 100% is a better back than Scotty at 70% when Scotty's 70% is I can't cut.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Scotty's not a bulldozer that's running over you straight ahead. He's got to have that little cut, and if he can't do that.
If he's not close to 100% and you play him Saturday night.
Then he's 40% for the next
game.
The
odds of him being really ready to go for Thanksgiving night are really slim.
oh, it's an impossibility. I mean, no. So it's 4 days later, 5 days later, whatever it is.
I don't play him.
At all, no matter what.
Unless he's 100%.
Yeah, he's got to be really close to 100% for me to play him.
Because if he gets hurt, he's not going to be ready for the other game. And I know which game matters more. No, there's nobody. No need for anybody to argue that. The Ole Miss State game has become very, very meaningful for Ole Miss over the years. It's more meaningful today than it was when I first started on this beat in 2008.
Yeah, you go through a Dan Mullen era and a Hugh Freeze era and an NCAA investigation.
Yep.
I mean,
it's just more emotional than it was in 2008.
A lot of stuff going on since then, 10 years. In a way, you had Houston Nutt, who frankly never even thought about State because he beat him all the time when he was at Arkansas. And then you had Sylvester Kerr finishing the end of that god-awful tenure. So
I remember in Houston's defense.
He only lost to State one time when he was at Arkansas.
Yeah, he did.
I think that's right.
Went 9-1. Or something, 8-1, 9-1, whatever it was. And so he shows up at Ole Miss. And in 08, they had that huge game in Baton Rouge where they just whipped the hell out of LSU down there. Jevin Snead was fantastic.
Yeah.
The defense was dominant.
Yeah.
I remember watching that going, man, I've grown up watching LSU games, and it's very rare that you see LSU beaten at the line of scrimmage like that. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, Houston kind of took it easy on him because his team was tired. They had short practices. The music was playing. I remember this.
Yeah.
And because his team was physically beat up. They had played some big games, and they were tired. And they destroyed State. They were fresh, and they destroyed State. And it wasn't a particularly emotional thing for them either. They just destroyed them. And then a year later, they beat LSU in that crazy clock game at home, and it was super emotional. And it was a big win.
And he overlooked them, just nothing.
And he, again, that next week took it easy on his team because I think he thought, and in fairness, I thought it too. I'll never criticize Nutt for this. But people tried that week to tell him, hey, man, they're going to
be – you haven't gone over there with Ole Miss on your chest.
Yep, it's different. And, look, I know I went to Ole Miss, but I'm not from here, and I don't – that rivalry doesn't mean anything to me on a personal level. And – I remember thinking, oh, come on, it's just football. And it was different. And he went down in there, and they got whipped.
I think they're up at half, and then all of a sudden it was just
boom, 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 and then it was over. And he was shell-shocked. And I don't think his tenure ever really recovered. That wasn't from that game. It was from the recruiting that had been going on.
But well, I mean, look, they played another team that looked like crap that day, but they played terrible in the Cotton Bowl against Oklahoma State that night.
The worst big bowl game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, they won, but it was – I think they won like 21-7 or something. They dominated the game, but it just
– Dexter made a couple
plays. Dexter got loose a couple times, and the defense was good enough, and Oklahoma State sucked.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has a history of playing Oklahoma State in barely meaningful bowl games where Oklahoma State kind of sucks.
Yeah, and that night – not the Sugar Bowl, but that night, Oklahoma State had no interest in being there
at all.
And they let it be known that week that they didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And it was a weird game. I went down there for a freaking week.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah, back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
Not everybody remembers that.
Well, see, because the first one, it was sort of the same thing. Like, Texas Tech was kind of pissed off all week for having to be there. They miss out on the big games.
That was so easy money.
Oh, dude.
That was free money.
Yeah, because Ole Miss could have been playing in the Intergalactic Championship that night. I mean, that morning, the way they were acting.
They were ready to win.
Yeah. And then once Tech kind of woke up, it was like, whoa. This is not good. Because Tech jumped out to a big lead, but then
That game was a blowout.
Yeah. I felt bad for Graham Harrell. He was getting killed.
Yeah.
I think it was Graham Harrell.
I think so.
Yeah. I get all those. It wasn't B.J. Simmons.
It was the state game that I really did. Legitimately, I know a lot of people out there, I'll never feel bad. I felt bad for those Mississippi State quarterbacks. I did.
Wesley Carroll and Tyson Lee.
It was like, is it your turn or is it my turn? Because I'm scared.
Well, it was that day where all the players were motivated, including Greg Hardy somehow. Like, Greg actually woke up that day wanting to play football.
Yeah.
And they
couldn't block him.
And Houston took it easy on him after half. They were up 31-0
He could have won 80-0
Yeah.
But that was the day I said, man, whatever you say about Mississippi State Don't say their quarterbacks quit. Don't say their quarterbacks aren't courageous, because that's pure fear. That was literally going out there going, okay, there's a cobra right there, and I got to walk right there.
Well, in all honesty, how do you operate an offense when you know your offensive line cannot block them at all?
Yeah.
If I have to drop back and pass, I'm getting hit.
Yeah, you know he looked over at the sideline whenever they sent a pass play in. Like, are you kidding me? Let's just hand the damn thing off and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, hey, Wesley, four verts, five-step drop.
No!
I'm throwing a slant. One step and pop.
One kid kept getting hit so hard that he was throwing up on the sideline. I mean,
well, at one point, they did kind of look at each other like, hey, who's healthy? Like, who can play here?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Didn't a third kid play some in that
game?
The
third kid played, too.
I think. I don't know.
I remember early in that game feeling actually really sick for that kid, because that state kid broke his leg early in that game.
Oh, he sure did.
A wide receiver. I don't remember. Brandon McCray, maybe.
I don't know, but I remember
I'm
the
guessing,
injury.
But, yeah. Kid early, really early in that game when it was still, I mean, quasi-competitive.
That game wasn't competitive long.
Broke his leg that day. But nonetheless, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, that game means a lot now, and it's weird, and it's not a normal contest. The atmosphere around that game is nasty. Maybe it's going to get cooled off a little bit, finally.
I think so. It's going to take time. Not going to be a one-year deal, but I think over time it will cool some. It's not healthy for anybody, either side.
I'll be curious next week if both coaches get asked about it. It's an emotional game for Matt. He's a Mississippian. He went to Ole Miss, and he's been
Moorhead
through all the stuff.
Moorhead can just go, I have no idea. Yeah. I'm from wherever, and no clue.
But that won't be popular with his people.
I know it's a very important game. It's a division game. We need to finish strong. We recruit against them, but I don't know.
That's not popular to his people. His people want him to say, I hate them. Man.
He's not going to do the Mullen thing. He's not going to play a character.
I don't think.
I don't either. He doesn't strike me as that guy. We'll see.
I think with Mullen, by the way, the hate got real.
Over time. It was a character at first, and then it got real.
He hated Freeze.
Speaking of Butler, we mentioned earlier, Ole Miss and them on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Friday night. That is Butler's next game. They are 2-0 so far this season. They have played two home games. They beat Miami of Ohio 90-68. And then they beat Detroit Mercy.
The Pistons.
Not the Pistons. Okay. They probably would not have beaten the Pistons. Beat Detroit Mercy 84-63. The Baldwin kid, I think, is their point guard.
He is.
He's had 21-6 and 26-6 in the two games so far for Butler. 448 tickets remaining, as low as $5 to get into Hinkle Fieldhouse on Friday night, by the way.
Cool. Should be a fun environment.
They have an interesting little stretch here. I mean, they're good, but they play Ole Miss, Dayton, and St. Louis three in a row.
The Cardinals.
And then they play Indiana later in the thing. They play UC Irvine, who beat Texas A&M, and then they play the Florida Gators prior to getting into conference play.
When you play the Pistons and a Major League Baseball team early in the season,
I bet they beat the Cardinals.
I hope so.
I bet they beat the Cardinals in basketball.
Destroy them.
Just a guess. I think that's a possibility.
I hate them.
Really?
The Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I cheer for Butler against the Cardinals.
The Brewers haven't taken over the hate?
No.
Okay. Just curious.
I mean, I hate the Brewers, but I admire their pluckiness.
All right. Fair enough. Plenty more coming your way during the course of the week. Guests throughout the week, I guess, on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Have Braden Thornberry tomorrow, as he is looking to capture his full card for the Web.com tour here in a few weeks in Arizona. We'll have Jeffrey on Thursday, as always, and then the recording of our visit with Matt Wyatt from Funkies on Thursday night. So check RebelGrove.com. In the meantime, we'll talk to you tomorrow.